Now may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Now, if you came across an order of service that had no date on it, but included the Lord of the Dance and John's Gospel chapter 1, you might wonder whether it came from Easter or Christmas. But I suppose, in a sense, it comes from both. Wisdom and Word, light and life, creation and resurrection. We surely need them all to understand the life of faith. Wisdom and Word are intended to come together in the scriptures and the festivals of the Christian year. And in the strange machinations of the church's calendar, this Sunday would normally be Candlemas, when we recall Jesus' dedication in the temple. But instead, we celebrated Candlemas last week, probably something to do with the moon. And so today, we have two of the deepest poetic scriptures that cry out for us to bring their words alive. I love Hebrew words like chokhmah. I'll say it again, chokhmah, a feminine word for wisdom, and not just because it gives us the chance to exercise little used parts of the vocal tract. Wisdom is personified across the Hebrew scriptures as the first begotten divine principle, delighting in creation. Humans seek after wisdom and desire her, but we can never attain true wisdom on our own. Wisdom is only ever granted by God to those who are faithful, true, and humble. You may have heard this proverb: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." But not in the sense of cringing in terror. Respect for God and the wonder of creation. A love of justice and compassion for those in need. And the joy that makes us sing and dance is the wisdom that was with God from the beginning. Now you might question the wisdom of using visual aids in a sermon that is going to be recorded. But I take comfort in the well-known saying that radio has the best pictures. So perhaps our listeners will be better off. So I would be grateful now if my glamorous assistants would please come and hold up. One is coming a distance. The purple snow-capped mountains that wisdom helps to shape, and the cloud bringing rain from the heavens, and the moon and the stars and the sun. And perhaps just as a favor, would you show them to the choir as well? We don't want them feeling left out. Thank you so much. And maybe you could even move them around a bit. Sorry, well, I wasn't particularly thinking of moving the mountains, but that's someone else's job, isn't it? Now, I wonder whether you could please put them on in the rag rug sky. Rag rugs is what we have up north, rag rugs. The pins are set to guide you. Thank you very much. I think we'll next be seeing you on Britain's Got Talent. The wisdom of God is not fixed or static, but creative and active and free. So what about the Word? I have reservations about the word Word because of the way it gets mishandled and misused. The Greek word here is logos, and it doesn't mean the same as our word, word. Now, please don't get me wrong about words. I think words are tremendously important. Just ask my poor darling wife and children what I think about if, when people really mean weather, or pacific, when people really mean specific. There's some nods of sympathy going on out there. But the church should know the true meaning of logos when we're talking about the eternal Son of God. Logos means something more like reason or utterance, the expression of what we think and feel inside. So St. John is telling us in his prologue that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the ultimate expression of the heart and mind of God. The terrible temptation ever since our words were written down is to treat those words as absolute and to use those words to control people and forbid any further discussion. I remember when I was a teenager, at the church where I was confirmed, one of the boys in our Bible study group said he disagreed and was told, "You're wrong to disagree." I don't think he stayed in that group much longer. I stayed in that group because I so enjoyed the Bible stories, full of colorful characters and great events, and the God who is always with us. And I expect our teenage brains liked to believe that the Bible was a rule book. And if the leaders called it all God's word, well, we knew that quite a lot of it really is. But I also remember something rather more spiritual from when I was about 9, walking down a summer lane near our home. The sun was shining and the grasshoppers were sounding, and I had a deep sense that the world around me was at peace, and that everything was fine with me and with God. Somehow, that sense of creative peace went deeper in me than all the rules and restrictions I learned in my teens. But it was years before I realized that God's first book is creation. And the first sign of Jesus is in other people, and that the stories of faith are meant to have a life of their own. Yours and mine and all the stories in the Bible, the poems, the proverbs, and all the words of imagination. But we must resist being taken in by the illusion of control, or we'll fall away like the Pharisees in a mess of our own silly laws. Wisdom calls and delights in the wonders of creation. The Word takes flesh and reveals the Father's loving glory. So let's remember and tell our stories, and be aware that God is always with us, and sing and dance as children of light in the life that shines throughout the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.